Praise the Lord. If while we're standing, we could turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. It may be a familiar passage to some of you, but I believe that God has something that he wants to communicate here tonight. And I had something else on my mind, but God had different plans, and I believe that there's a reason for that. And like Pastor said, there was an urgency and an expectation in my soul, and I feel that for us here this evening. So I'm going to start with 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's going to be verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, 'Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.' And Elisha said unto her, 'What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?' And she said, 'Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil.' Then he said, 'Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full.' So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out, and it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said unto her, 'There is not a vessel more,' and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest.'" What a beautiful story of God's provision. If we can, really quickly, before we're seated, I just feel a heaviness here tonight. Could we just pray and ask the Lord to speak to us? Lord God, we love you and we thank you. We pray, Lord God, that you would have liberty in this place tonight. Lord Jesus, to speak and to move, mighty God. Hallelujah. We pray that you would anoint my heart and my mind, Lord, to communicate your word here tonight, Jesus. We love you and we thank you, God. Hallelujah. We know, Jesus, that you are able. We love you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. This desperate widow found herself in great poverty. She had nothing, and she was about to lose her sons. She went to the man of God, and he asked her, "Well, what do you have?" And she said, "Just a little oil. That's all I've got." And the prophet gave her instructions, and she followed them exactly. And I was trying to find who said this quote. I don't know. I heard it once a long time ago. But it says, "If you are poor in all else, seek to be rich in faith." This woman was poor in everything, right? She had nothing left, but she was rich in faith. Her neighbors, they probably thought that she was crazy. You know, in these communities, you know, they were all the houses next to each other and things, and they're seeing her sons go out and ask, and they knocked on her door and asked for every pot, every vessel that she could get her hands on, and they probably thought, "What is going on?" You know, and you know, you always got like the nosy one that's like peeking out, you know, trying to see in what's going on. But she didn't seem to mind any of that. She shut the door from all those prying eyes, and she did as the man of God instructed. And little did those neighbors know that those vessels would not be empty for very long. And so that brings me to what I'd like to talk to us about tonight, and that is the subject of empty vessels. God's oil flows as long as there are empty vessels to receive it. Or in other words, God's provision flows as long as there is capacity to receive it. We must be an empty vessel so that God can fill it. When William and Rebecca were little, they were toddlers. They were playing outside on the back patio, and Rebecca had her little sippy cup with some juice, and William was just playing with his toys, and I remember one of them was a dump truck, and he was filling it with dirt and dumping it and filling it with dirt and dumping it. Well, of course, at some point, accidentally, you know, she's itty-bitty, so she sets the sippy cup on the ground, and of course, the dump truck goes, and the dirt goes right on the sippy cup, right into the juice and all of that that was there, and she got so upset. She said, "Look what he did to my juice." And so I took her cup and I got ready to go. And, you know, I was just, the bushes were right there. I was just going to go dump it so I could go inside and wash it. And she got like so offended, like, "You're going to pour it out? You can't do that. That's mine." And, you know, she understood that it couldn't be used, but at the same time, she didn't want me to dump it out. And so I tried to explain to her that now her cup, even though it was still full of juice, that she couldn't drink it. It wasn't filled with juice that was good. And so I needed to empty the cup so I could give her that fresh juice, juice that would not only taste good, but it would be good for her as well. And then she said, "Can't you just put more in it, you know?" And again, being so little, she didn't understand. But she didn't realize that sometimes we have to empty the cup so that it can be filled again with something that is better for us and that is good for us. And so as adults, we have this same problem, don't we? We fill ourselves with things that maybe aren't the best for us. You know, sometimes we intentionally or unintentionally hold on to things that aren't good for us, and we maybe have that childlike stubbornness as to not let some things go. We hold on to, you know, what's ours, and, you know, we can have a tight grip on things sometimes, and maybe it could be a lot of things. It could be past hurts, problems, struggles, regrets, sins. Of course, sometimes it's just the things of this world, right? We can just get caught up. Entertainment, activities, busyness, all of those things. And next thing we know, our cup is full. But it's not full of what is healthy or what is good or what we truly need, right? And so much in these days, we're encouraged to put ourselves first, right? And make sure that our cups are full. But unfortunately, when we do the filling, when we fill our own cups with the things that we think that we need or things that society tells us that we need, then we have no room for God to add to our cup for what he knows we need. Matthew 5 and 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Everyone say filled. Filled. Hallelujah. In order for God to fill us, we've got to first be empty. The Bible teaches that hunger is the only thing that has the ability to predetermine how much of God you will receive. It was how many vessels she could get her hands on. You know, it's not preaching or promotion or programs, which we try to do the best that we can and all of that, but it's the amount of emptiness that God can find. It's the hunger in the people of God, and that is what he is looking for. And so when we begin to repent and to empty ourselves of self-reliance, our own will, our pride, we give God room to fill our lives with his perfect will. And we become dependent on him and him alone. Hallelujah. It was God's instruction to the widow to collect all the emptiness that you can find, and I will fill it. There's a slide there. I didn't know if he was back there or not. But the volume of your emptiness determines the amount of your filling. And so if we keep holding on to stuff, if we keep that grasp on those things that we think we have, maybe it's unforgiveness, I don't know, maybe it's a sin that we just can't let go of, or again, maybe it's just we're just constantly filling our time with busy things, But unless we are able to completely empty ourselves, that's what's going to determine how full God can make us. And it determines our future in God. One of the greatest obstructions to a move of God is our diet. We come in here too full, right? We fill ourselves up before we get here, or day to day with all of the things, to the point where the only room that we have left is only for what's convenient. We'll go to church on Wednesday if the kids don't have school or sports activities, or we'll only worship if the church plays the right song, or we'll only go down to the altar if everyone else does. But God can't fill a vessel that's already full. God is looking for hungry people, and really hungry people are really desperate people. These are the kind of people that will wake up early to pray even when it's not convenient. They'll make time to read and study the Bible. They'll be at the church every time that the doors are open because they're hungry. An empty vessel says, yes, Pastor, I'll teach a Bible study. An empty vessel says, we have to have a move of God today. There's no other choice. We have to, because we're desperate, God. We're desperate for a move of your Spirit, Jesus. And revival, we've been talking a lot about revival the last few weeks, and I believe that it's for a reason, but revival is not just a natural process of time, right? Revival, it's not like necessarily farming a harvest where there's a set period of time where the harvest comes. It only comes with supernatural intervention, and I'm here to tell you that God cannot say no to a hungry heart. When God's people get hungry and when they desire revival, hallelujah, he can't help himself but to answer. We can't be satisfied with stories of someone else's move of God or encounter with God, you know, because if sermons were going to save our cities, it would have been done a long time ago. But it happens when God's people are hungry, when God's people get empty. Hallelujah. That is when he can move, he can fill us. And hunger will take you places in God that nothing else can. No, there's no amount of anything else that can replace that hunger, that pure desire for Jesus. On the Ark of the Covenant, on the cherubims that were facing each other, it was in between, in the empty place, that God's presence dwelt. God is looking for a place for that next outpouring of his presence, that next revival, hallelujah. And I believe that it is Higher Purpose Pentecostal Church, hallelujah. Like Pastor said, we aren't waiting on revival. Revival is waiting on us, hallelujah. It just takes empty vessels. The widow's problem wasn't how much oil she had. It was how much emptiness she could collect. We look so much, right, on what we have, on maybe the little we have, or our problems or our situations or things like that, but that wasn't. And she had some problems, but it wasn't about the little that she had. It was about how much faith. She just kept every vessel. She told her sons, go get more. And they said, there is no more. It was on the emptiness that she could get. And sometimes when we get to a point where we're satisfied, right? We're content, and it interrupts the purpose and plan of God in our lives, because there's got to be a desperation. When we stop to build a monument, maybe when something good happens, we stop and we, you know, kind of do a victory lap. We forget to keep on moving. We forget to keep on running the race. And I, here tonight, I'm caught in between what is and what can be. I am so grateful for what God has done, but I am also desperate for what God can do. We don't want to not be grateful for all that God has to do, but that doesn't mean we have to be satisfied with where we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for what he's done, but I'm also desperate for what he can do. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, it says, "And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men, they had seen the first house. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." The older men, they were acquainted with all of the beauty and glory of Solomon's temple and Israel's finest hour. They knew what could be. They didn't know whether to laugh or to cry. They rejoiced that the temple was being rebuilt, but they wept because they knew God's promise. Haggai 2:9, it says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." I am so thankful for everything God has done in this church, everything God has done in my life and in your life. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you that the latter house will be greater. God has so much more in store for us and for this church. But we've got to empty ourselves. We have to make ourselves available to God. He desires for us to be both grateful and desperate at the same time. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land." You know what that sounds like? That sounds like emptying, right? Hallelujah. When we humble ourselves, when we pray and seek his face and turn towards holiness, hallelujah, that's an emptying of our vessel. Hallelujah. And it says, "Then will I hear from heaven." Hallelujah. God cannot help but respond to a hungry heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we've seen it, Acts 6 and 7. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Hallelujah. That increase. Hallelujah. It's happened before. It'll happen again when God's people are hungry and when God's people are empty, when they're desperate for more of him. Hallelujah. He responds with revival. He responds with a multiplication. Hallelujah. Of his disciples. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Revival is only brought through supernatural intervention through God. Hallelujah. But when it happens, it captures the attention of this unbelieving world. Hallelujah. And it just takes one empty vessel. Hallelujah. One person to empty themselves and just say, "God, fill me." Hallelujah. "God, I'll give anything that you ask, Jesus. Just use me, God." And it spreads like a wildfire, and it catches the attention of this world because they're hungry too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we could stand tonight, the only barrier to revival is our own unbelief. Mark 6:5-6, it says, "And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." believe. Revival begins when we believe God for great things. That widow had the faith to say, go get every vessel that you can. Hallelujah. We have the faith tonight that says, God, I believe that it is here. I believe that it is happening, and I want to be a part of it. So God, empty me. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, forgiveness is a hard process. Hallelujah. Giving up, overcoming sin, it can be a hard process. That overcoming temptation, all of these things, I'm not here to say that it's going to be an easy road, but when we completely empty ourselves and we say, God, you come first, Jesus. It's not just about what's convenient, God, but it is about your will and it is about what you want for my life. Hallelujah. Great things will begin to happen. Matthew 9:29, it says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Hallelujah. According to your faith. Hallelujah. Tonight, if we come before the Lord, hallelujah, hungry and desperate for him, and just say, God, I know that you're going to do it. If we come with faith, then he will do it. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Isaiah 54 says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. I want to be able to say, God, stretch it. If we need another building, even though this one's huge, God, stretch it to the left. If we got to tear down a wall, whatever we got to do, if we believe in faith that God's going to do it, he'll do it. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk 3, it says, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. It says, God, do it in our lifetime. It says, in the midst of the years, God, do it. Do it now. God, revive your work now. God, I want to see it. I want to see it, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians, this is the last one before I have you come. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Finally, brethren, pray. Pray for revival. Pray, God, fill this empty vessel. God, we are hungry for you. If you're hungry, I just invite you to come down to this altar tonight and just say, God, empty me of everything that would hinder your purpose.